Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is continuing his sermon titled, The Messiah of Israel. The Scriptures make it very clear that Jesus is the Messiah. During this Christmas season, many have lost the significance of what that means and have exchanged it for what is called the holiday season. Just as the Jews did, they cannot see who Jesus really is. Let's listen and learn.
I've explained this many times, but let me go through it again. When Jesus said, I and the Father, he was making a distinction in person between he and his Father. I and the Father. The word and there, it's the Greek word kai. And when you see the Greek word kai in a sentence, it indicates a distinction in one of three things. It is a distinction in a clause, it is a distinction between things, or a distinction between persons. So the Lord says, I and the Father, we are distinct. We're not the same purpose, but he says, we are one. The word one there, it's neuter in the Greek language, meaning he really said the Father and I, we are the same thing. It literally says, we are the same stuff. What does that mean? The Father and the Son, they equally shared one and the same nature of God. Distinct in person, but one in being. See, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three distinct persons. They all share, equally share, one and the same nature and equality of God. That's why the Lord can say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. To look at him is to look at God. Why? They shared one and the same nature. They didn't share two different natures, but each were equal. No, they shared one and the same nature of God. And so this is why God could call this promised Messiah. He says he's my servant, but he's greatly exalted and highly lifted up, just as I am. This is the Messiah of Israel. One person, yet truly God, yet truly man. Now, that's a great thing, amen? And the Bible says he became a man to share in our infirmities. But because he was God, he could overcome our infirmities in our behalf. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he said. For I have overcome the world. So this is the uniqueness of the person of Christ. Truly God. Truly man. He could go to sleep in the boat as a man because he was tired. Truly man. But you could wake him up and you see God as he speaks to the wind and the waves, and the winds and the waves, they obey him. So in view of all this, the Messiah of Israel could actually be spoken of by God to share in his glory as the high and lifted up one is, who is greatly exalted, in the same way that the Father, because although he would be distinct in person, one in nature with God, one in substance, one in essence, one in power, one in might with God, eternally sharing with the Father all the attributes of God. And so it is no conundrum to the spiritually exercised mind. There is no contradiction here. The Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, he was truly man, but he was also truly God. Now, you can't beat that for a Savior. Amen? Amen. Human enough to sit down and have a meal with you, but God enough to save you forever from your sins. Man enough to eat bread with you, but because he's God, he can make the bread you're eating. Amen? And then both you and he can eat the bread he made. There is no doubt that this exalted servant in Isaiah 53, it can be none other but Jesus Christ. Nobody else met these credentials. Nobody is sane could ever say, I'm God, and prove it. When folks say they're God today, they're crazy or lying. Amen. I remember years ago, a guy got on TV and said he was Jesus. And so they bought out a bucket of water, no, a tub of water, and told him to walk it. He tried and went right down to his knees. Amen. Notice 52:14 says, he's still speaking of his servant. He says, just as many were astonished at you, my people. So his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. When God says, you know, just as many were astonished at you, he's speaking of Israel. It's astonishing God chose Israel to be his people. And I say this because what God said of them. Deuteronomy 7:7, the Lord said of Israel, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more than number than any other people, because you were the fewest of all peoples. And that's something we don't understand in the church today. God's choice was not based on who Israel was, but who God is, to be used for his eternal plans and purpose. Exodus 32:9, God says this about Israel. The Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. I like the King James. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. So you know God didn't choose Israel because they were such great people. They were less than anybody else, and more hard-headed than anybody else. It is astonishing. That's who God chose to be his people, through whom he would bring the Messiah into the world. And so Isaiah says, just as many are astonished that you are the people of God, that God chose you, he says the people will be astonished at this servant of God, whose appearance will be marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This word marred in verse 14, it means to be disfigured. It's a Hebrew word, mishkath. It means to be disfigured and mutilated. So Isaiah is saying this servant of God, who's highly exalted as God is, high and lifted up as God is. Why? Because that's who he is. He is truly man, truly God. But yet he also said the people will be astonished at how marred and disfigured his face and his body would be. This was literally fulfilled in Jesus through the various beatings he received before he was crucified or nailed to a cross for your sin and my sin. We know he got at least 3 good beatings before they crucified him. Number one, the Jewish religious leaders and the temple police gave Jesus a good beating after they arrested him in the garden. Matthew 26:65-67, the high priest tore his robes. He has blasphemed. He went on to say, what further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They answer, he deserves death. Then verse 67 records this. Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him. That's the first beating he got. The Roman soldiers gave another beating in Pilate's palace. Matthew 27:27-30. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a high reed in his right hand. And they knelt before him and began mocking him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. Now, we know this was a brutal beating because of what a reed is. A reed is a is a plant that grows up to 20 feet high. They would take the lower stem of these plants and they would use them to make walking sticks. So this was not a flower like a tulip or no, this was like a big giant cane pole that some of us still fish with. And so they would use that bottom portion to make a walking stick or a fishing pole. So just imagine somebody beating you on your head with a cane pole or a walking stick. And the beating came from a whole cohort of Roman soldiers. Then they gave the Lord a scourging before they nailed him to the cross. John 19:1-6, Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. The Roman scourge was another brutal, barbaric procedure. The whip used in the Roman scourging produced, it was a wooden handle with numerous leather straps attached to it. These straps were knotted and then weighted at the end with sharp bits of metal and bone to make the whip an effective flesh-cutting instrument of torture. The victims of the scourging were cut down until their bones were exposed. Sometimes they were so lacerated in the abdomen that their intestines would fall outside of their body. So you would see these crucifixion victims holding in their guts as they were led to the cross. These series of severe beatings rendered Jesus to be marred, disfigured, bloody, swollen, bruised, and a lacerated mess. This was a fulfillment of what Isaiah predicted in 52:14. His appearance would be marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. It was astonishing to the people that after Jesus had been raised from the dead and ascended back to the heavens, and the apostles began to preach him, they were astonished that beaten to a pulp person, that was their promised Messiah. You have to understand, in the Jewish mind, they were expecting this great deliverer riding in on a white horse and delivering us from the Roman rule, and we will rule with them. They were not expecting a bloody, beaten down Messiah. It was shocking. The people could not believe, this is him? That's why they laughed at him on the cross. Somehow in their minds, they did not believe this fit the picture of the Messiah, yet it fulfilled the scripture perfectly that this was your promised Messiah. But he was beaten beyond what most men are ever beaten. When he was marred and disfigured, he was a bloody, spit-covered mess. It was shocking. It is just as shocking today for us. And I'll tell you why. When have you ever walked into a church and saw a depiction of Jesus beaten to a pulp? Face beaten beyond being recognized. Body lacerated, bruised, thorns crushed into a skull, face swollen, covered with spit. You've never seen a picture like that of Jesus any place, have you? We often see him in a well-groomed, beautiful robe, glossy lips, manicured feet and hands, every hair in place, little Shekinah glory over his head, and we say, oh, that's Jesus. If we put a picture of Jesus up on the wall, a bloody, mutilated mess, you would be offended. Why does pastor have such a gruesome picture up? in the church sanctuary. Doesn't he know this is a holy place? But guess what? 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his stripes, by his wounds, you were healed. It's the bloody, mangled, marred, disfigured Jesus. That's what saved us from our sins. And I might need to sit down. It wasn't his long flowing hair. It was not him in the seamless robe, every hair in place, well manicured, sitting on a rock on Mount of Olives with a little bit of Shekinah glory above his head. You know, that's our picture of the Savior. No, the Savior was a beaten down, bloody, spit-covered mess. Why? By his stripes you were healed. We don't understand when he was beat down. That was Jesus paying for your sins. Every stripe was needed to deliver you from your sin sickness. So if we really want to be accurate, we ought to have a picture. If we're going to make a picture at all, we ought to have him down, beaten down, bloody mess. Because that's why you're saved. God took our sins and laid him on Jesus. And as we shall see in Isaiah 53, it says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was wounded for our iniquities. He was beaten because of our sin sickness. And by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed of what everything that sin laid on us, everything that Adam's sin laid on us, death, hell, and the grave, we were delivered by that beaten down, bloody, disfigured, spit all in his hair, mass of mess, who was marred and disfigured more than any man. He did that to deliver us from our sins. That's how bad your sin is in the eyes of God. It took God to become a man but never cease to be God and submit himself to be disfigured more than any man in order that we could stand before God the Father righteous, just as if we never sinned. That shows you how messed up we are in our thinking in the church today. I keep telling y'all, the more I read, the more what I see today, it's becoming more and more foreign to me as the true church of Jesus Christ. I keep saying, nothing that we do really reflects what the first century church did, almost nothing. And I wonder, what the world we doing from Sunday to Sunday? It's figly. It's not what I keep reading. It's not what I see. A beaten down, mangled, bloody Savior is offensive, but not to God. Amen. The Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him, because through the stripes he received, the Bible says, we are healed. So you're not saved because you're a great person. You're not. We are sin cursed,
yes, wretched.
And wretched,
yes.
And undone. That's who we really are. All of our righteous acts are nothing more than filthy rags in the sight of God. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And through his wounds, through his stripes, we are healed. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, 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 he is worthy.
I almost feel I need to stop at this point. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Can't. How far else can you go with that?
Yes, sir.
You and I deserve hell.
Yes, sir.
Well, Pastor, before I was saved, but now that I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with a mighty burning fire. And you better be glad part of them stripes paid for lying. Let's be honest up in here. That's none of us. I don't mean we live in sin, but we go through periods, amen. I don't mean we're out there in the midst, we don't live in sin, but come on now, we still struggle with sin. Every now and then a curse word coming out your mouth. You hate somebody. Although we won't confess it, but you do. You wish your boss would get hit by a bus some days. Some days you hate your husband. Some days you hate your wife. Some days you can't stand your kids. I know I'm up in the house today. Amen. Men, we walk around in perpetual lust. See how quiet I got. Really got down there. Really got down. And women, y'all got the same problem too. Amen. I know y'all say you're looking at his character. You're looking at more than that. Amen. Oh, pastor, I'm looking at his character. I never knew how lustful women were until I started visiting my dad at the rest home. Amen. And them old women, you know, the filters are gone. You know, the filters are gone. You know, and they saying stuff to me, Grandma. On the walker. Sit on the walker. Woo, oh, Grandma, please. I'm almost 60, but my ears have never heard such things. Amen. What it says is we are full of sin. Yes. And it is repulsive to God. It is repulsive and offensive to a righteous, holy God who the Bible says is angry at the wicked every day. The God who says nothing unclean will dwell or tarry in my sight. That's the sin that renders all of us separated from God with a gap that we could never bridge on our own. There's absolutely nothing we could ever do to bridge the gap sin created between us and God. But thank God, God promised a Messiah. And he said, don't worry, I got you covered. And he sent his son into the world, the promised Messiah, the Meshach, the anointed word of God. He sent him into the world and he had your name on his mind and my name on his mind. Amen. And he laid his body down and he gave his all. He left it all out on the field, as they would say of the football player. He didn't bring nothing back. He laid it all on the field. He left it all on the cross. He left it all on that whooping post. To when all was said and done, the thing he cried out was, it is finished. Amen. All needed for you and me, he did it by being disfigured and marred. Covered with spit, lacerated, bruised, in order to heal you and me of our sin sickness. Amen. Amen. This perfectly fits Jesus. Nobody else could pull that one off. Nobody else could pull off being beaten down and bruised and bloody, and come out of it the Lord of glory. Yes. You know, you didn't get crucified and then come out with a, if somebody even took you down, you didn't come out with a spry in your step. Nobody could pull this off but Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the Gentiles, truly God, truly man, God from God, light from light, eternally begotten and not made, one with the Father in all things. He could say, if you've seen me, you've seen God. The Father and I, we are one. Yes. Whatever the Father can do, I can do. Yet truly sinless man who submitted himself to the cross and the beatings, not for himself because he was sinless, but for you and for me. I had a lot more to say, but I can't go no further. That's enough for you to chew on. Amen. Think about your sin. Some of you probably talked about me before I got up here today. I hope it ain't up there too long. St. Patty's Day. I got to go out and get me some green beer. all kind of stuff been running through your mind. That's why he paid the price. Because we couldn't help ourselves. And not for the grace of God now, amen. We wouldn't be able to help ourselves. And even with that, let's be honest, it's a struggle at times from day to day. But thank God we have a Messiah like Jesus. Who gave his all in our behalf. Amen. I'm going to shut it down. So I didn't get finished, so I'll pick it up next week. Amen. Amen. Altar workers, Lord, we thank you for this bruised, suffering Savior. There's never been anybody like Jesus. We struggle to find words to adequately describe him. Unique, one of a kind. No one else comes close to this Savior, to this Messiah. Buddha doesn't come close. He's still in the ground. Muhammad doesn't come close. He's still in the ground. Hare Krishna doesn't come close. Still in the ground. Popes come and go. They got a bunch of them slabbed up on slabs right now. I don't know what for. Amen. We all come and go. Only one man conquered death, hell, and the grave, and came out victorious, and said, as of this day, all the power of the heavens and the earth is in my sin, in my hands. And the remittance of sin, it is through me. It is by repentance of sin and faith in this Jesus that we are saved, that we come to know God. If there is one today you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, Jesus said he's the only way to be saved. The only way to enter heaven is through a relationship with this promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. If there's one today, would you raise your hand? Lord God, we pray that you will convict that one soul today who does not know you as their Savior. And they will turn their hearts to you and minds to you and fully embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Perhaps there's another you already saved and you prayed about this and thought about it, and you believe God wants you to be a member of this church. There is one, and I always say this is low pressure because we want you to be where God wants you to be. Amen. If there's one, the altar workers can help you also. If there's one today, would you raise your hand? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for so many things today. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus, and how he fulfilled everything required by God in the Old Testament scriptures as the proof that he is our Savior. Father God, I thank you. I praise you for all things. We pray for those who need that special touch, facing tests and this and that, and sicknesses, recovering. Lord, you know exactly what your people need at this moment in time. We pray for you today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Amen.
To see Jesus as a beaten and blooded Savior is indeed offensive to many, but not to God. All of these idolatrous paintings of what people believe he looked like fail to capture the eternal significance of the brutal punishment he had to endure for us. Join us tomorrow as we continue teaching the truth of Scripture. Understanding the Scriptures is a ministry of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio,